And would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. And would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. And would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Since stains are lost in its life-giving flow, there's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. And would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. There is power, 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 wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, 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 wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Woo! When some glad morning, when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again. is saying that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. There's nothing else can take your place to feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way. Bring me back to
Jesus, precious Lord.
Jesus, precious Lord.
your name. And I praise your name. You're the source of my strength, the source of my being, and I will put my trust in you. Thank you.
Lord, would you help us to do just that, to put our trust in you? Lord, we say that with our lips, but we don't always act it out. We try to do things on our own. We try to take things in control ourselves. We try to force things and make things what we want them to be. Lord, would you help us to stop that and to simply put our trust wholly, completely, without reservation, put our trust in you. Allow you to work out the situation, the circumstances, the details. Lord, I pray that you would just give us peace. No matter what we're walking through, no matter what the situation or issue is, no matter how deep the valley seems, God, would you give us peace and encouragement? You are our strength. You are our source of everything. God, help us to abide in that. Help us to walk it. Help us to live that out in our lives, Lord God. Lord, I thank you for your incredible blessings. We just ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. To set the tone for our fruit virtue today, I want to start off with a couple of short stories this morning. At the pharmacy counter, I was in one of two lines, and a discussion was taking place next to me between an elderly customer and another pharmacy cashier. The customer was trying to pick up a medicine refill that helped him with the pain in his chest. And he was scared because he only had a few left and needed to get more. The cashier told the customer his mail order would arrive at the pharmacy. But the customer asked if he could get a partial fill because he wouldn't have enough money to pay for the whole prescription, emphasizing once again his need for the medication and his fear about his chest pain. Unfortunately, the pharmacy staff insisted that they could not break open the bottle, but that they would give him a couple, 2 or 3 day supply just to get him by. The customer was very thankful for their willingness, but clearly still very worried, and continued to express his fear about the medicine running out before he could have enough money to pay for the refill. Overhearing this, I quietly wrote a note to ask my cashier if I could help pay for that gentleman's medicine. They were able to orchestrate the payment without knowledge to the customer and without any violation of privacy for the customer or for myself. Then there's this one. I recently moved to New York City. It doesn't explain why they moved to New York, but they did. I recently moved to New York City and decided to take a bike ride from Hudson Yards to Brooklyn. With navigation instructions playing in my ear, I followed the prompts and approached the Brooklyn Bridge. The navigation direction told me to turn left onto the bridge, and without a second thought, I complied. Seconds later, I find myself on a 6-lane highway surrounded by cars speeding past me at over 60 miles an hour. Fear gripped me as I realized the gravity of my mistake. There was no shoulder to stop on, no way to turn around, and the mere thought of falling was absolutely terrifying, given the risk of being hit by a car. The only option was to continue going straight and avoid falling over. Terrified, I pedaled as fast as I possibly could on the highway. Cars started swerving around me, honking, with people yelling abuse out their windows. I started hitting small little potholes and gripping the handles of my bike, praying that I didn't fall. About a quarter of the way across the bridge, a man pulled up beside me in his car. "What are you doing?" he shouted through his window, seemingly frustrated. I started to anticipate a terrible outcome, and I responded, "I made a mistake, but I have to keep going," I shouted back as I struggled to keep my concentration on the road. Seeing the absolute panic on my face, he quickly understood my predicament. "I'm going to make sure you get across," he reassured me. True to his word, he swerved behind me, turning on his hazards, and followed me at about 30 miles an hour the rest of the way across the bridge. What should have been less than a 5-minute journey felt like an eternity. Finally, as I reached the end of the bridge, I was able to glance back and see him taking another exit. I never saw the man again. Those were a few true stories. I pulled them off of the Random Acts of Kindness Foundation website. True website. If you ever need a little bit of encouragement, the Random Acts of Kindness Foundation website. Those were amongst many of the stories that were listed there. I want to share a couple more real quick, just one-liners or so with you. Let me give you these couple of short notes this morning. I made baby blankets for unwed mothers. I bought a bag of groceries for a refugee family. I helped a neighbor with a project they were working on. I helped a stranger carry groceries to their car. Those also were true stories. However, those particular stories were shared by people right here in this church. See, a few years back, we had a Random Acts of Kindness wall back in the foyer, the back of the sanctuary and the foyer. And those were just a couple of the testimonies that were posted on that anonymous Random Acts of Kindness wall back in the day. All of the stories that I've shared with you this morning, besides being true, point to us in one particular direction this morning. Perhaps we've already kind of discerned what that direction is, and we've figured out the element of the fruit of the Spirit that we're going to be talking about today. Keeping in step with our reading plan, we are at the fifth element of the fruit. If you would like to read along with us or join us this morning, we are in Galatians chapter 5, where we read about the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, starting at verse 16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. The sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live by this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. A quick reminder again this morning, if you haven't been with us from the start, or if you've missed out on this explanation, why are we reading that whole section of Scripture when the fruit of the Spirit is found in like two verses of that? Why do we keep reading over that whole section? Well, it's simple. We are trying to make sure we clearly understand there is a massive, massive difference living as the world lives versus living in step with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Two very different lives. You cannot walk in both paths. You cannot have, as they say, one foot on each side of the line or each side of the fence. It cannot be done. They are in opposition to each other. That scripture makes it very, very clear. If you're going to walk the way the world walks, you're going to deal with the things that the world has to deal with at some point in time. But if you are willing to commit yourself to walking with the Holy Spirit, you are going to live and walk a whole different lifestyle. And I think it's important that we remember that. We cannot attempt to live the way the world lives and still expect the benefits of walking with the Holy Spirit. Can't be done. The two are incompatible. When we read these words, I hope we realize as well that we have a choice to make. Because they are two very different paths, because they are incompatible, we need to make a decision. We came to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We stood at a Y in the road and had to decide which way we're going to go. When it comes to living our lives on a day-to-day basis here on this earth, we need to make a decision. Which path are we going to walk? Which element are we going to fix our eyes on and decide to walk in? It's one or the other. There is no mix and match option. I don't get to decide that I want to be a loving person, but I'm going to live this lifestyle. I don't get to decide that I'm going to be at peace with everything and then walk contrary to what God tells me. It doesn't work that way. We have to make a decision. All right, let's get back to the real focus, the virtues, the elements, the piece of this text that we're working on. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Another quick reminder, it is not nine fruits, it is one. All of these things, all of these elements, all of these pieces wrap together to produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit. After, can I say, suffering through the truth about patience last week, and I hope we all learned from that. You know, patience and the idea of patience is a lot different than how we typically see it. It is actually a vital part of our maturing walk in Christ. And that's not how we tend to view it most of the time. Anyhow, after suffering through our talk about patience last week, this week we come to the piece regarding kindness. It's interesting that again, we see how things go hand in hand. Take patience and kindness as an example. Sometimes it takes incredible patience to be kind to others. Sometimes being kind to others is the element of patience that someone else needs to see or realize. These things are not individualistic. They work together, they go together, they function together. Very important we understand that. Kindness is also not a one-time event. We don't get to wake up Monday morning, go out and do something nice and say, that's it, I've been kind this week, I'm good to go. Kindness is not something we get to do twice or three or 10 times. Kindness is something that needs to ooze from our pores. Think about that. Kindness needs to ooze from our pores. It needs to flow from our lives like a river on a regular basis. Not just when we feel good, not just when circumstances seem right, not just when all the stars align, as they like to say. Kindness needs to be a part all the days of our lives. The Lord reminded me when I was getting that ready that the day the truck pulled out in front of me and I slammed on my horn, it was probably not a good element of kindness displayed in my life. Should they have pulled out in front of me? No. But should that have been my reaction? No. Really shouldn't have been. That was not kindness oozing from my pores, so to speak. Scripture speaks of kindness quite a bit. In fact, there's, 50, 60 references to kindness throughout Scripture. One of the first references to kindness goes back to Genesis. And it's right around the time God was getting ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Hopefully you remember that account as listed in Scripture. Let me give you just a little brief synopsis of it. Obviously, during that time frame, God was tired of their evil ways, tired of the choices they were making, tired of the things they were doing. So he was just going to wipe out those land and get rid of the evil that existed there, right? But there was an individual that lived there by the name of Lot, who was a relative of Abraham's. And God chose to spare Lot's life. Not just Lot, but his whole family. His wife and his daughters, he was going to spare them. He allowed them to flee from those cities before they were destroyed. Now, God had sent angels down to take care of all of this business that he had to do with Sodom and Gomorrah. And those angels told Lot that you need to get out of here and flee to the mountains where you will be safe. Now, Lot took it upon himself to say, well, okay, thank you, but do I have to really go to the mountains? Can't we just go to this nearby city over here? And they said, fine, that's fine, go. Go ahead and go to that city, that's fine. But let me read a little bit of how this transpired in Genesis chapter 19, verses 16 and 19. Read this way. Lot hesitated, and when he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and of his two daughters and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. Then we jump down to verse 19. Your servant has found favor in your eyes, and you have shown kindness to me in sparing my life. Now, we all know, hopefully, what happened in the balance of that account. Fire rained down from heaven. Sodom and Gomorrah was wiped out. It was completely destroyed. And yet, God had mercy, if you will, on Lot. So we know the events of that spiritual account, that whole story. But how often do we apply that account to our lives? This wasn't just a biblical history event. We should be applying it to us. See, Sodom and Gomorrah are just as much a sign for us today, and honestly, a sign for what is yet to come, as much as they were a sign back then. They weren't just an event of the past. God allowed Lot and his family to escape the sinfulness of the land that they lived in. Much like God is doing for you and I today. If we are saved, if we are born again, if we've professed Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then God is helping us escape this evil land that we currently live in. And at some point, He will do that on a worldwide level when Jesus comes again. He will help believers escape the evil land that is about to be annihilated, destroyed, completely done away with. Sodom and Gomorrah were not just a history lesson. They were not just something from the past. There's something we need to remember today, an example we need to consider every day on our lives. Do we want to live in this mess we call the world and receive the judgment due this world? Or do we want to thank God every day for taking us by the hand and showing us His kindness, removing us from this world and the judgment due this world? That's kindness, folks. Lot hesitated. The angel said, "There is no time to hesitate. Let's go." And he realized, even though it was a grab my hand, pull me out, he realized the kindness that was being shown to him by allowing him to escape the evil that he was living among. How many of us see that same kindness day after day after day? How many of us thank God for that kindness day after day after day? You know, most of us, this isn't judgment on anybody, but most of us are too worried about saying, "God, I need this. God, I need this. God, would you provide this? God, would you take care of this? God, would you do this? God, by the way, somebody else needs this." How much time do we spend just saying, "Thank you. Thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for taking me by the hand when I hesitated. Thank you for showing me just how important it was to get out of whatever situation I was in. Thank you, God, for your incredible kindness." Let's jump ahead in Scripture. Go to the book of Ruth, because there we see another example of kindness, one that actually had long-term effects for all of us. Not just a one-time event here and there, but it's something that affected our lives. Kindness that was shown in the book of Ruth. Again, a synopsis. In short, Naomi and her husband and their two sons left their homeland because of a famine. They moved, they went to another place to live, to try to find food and work and whatever. While they were in this foreign land, their sons were old enough, and they married a couple of individuals while in this foreign land. Unfortunately, a short time later, Naomi's husband and both of her boys die. So all that's left is Naomi and now her two, I'll say, former daughter-in-laws, widowed daughter-in-laws, if you will. Given the new set of circumstances they find themselves in, Naomi decides it's time to go back to her homeland, go back and try to find help, find a new way of life back in her homeland instead of being by herself in this strange place. So she decides to go back, and she encourages her daughter-in-laws to go back to their own homes, their own families, and perhaps God would again bless them with new husbands. But one of them, Ruth, says, "I refuse to leave your side, Naomi. I will stay with you forever. If it means I never marry again, I never marry again. But you are now my family, and I am going to stay with you." Naomi praised both of her daughter-in-laws, but she praised them for their incredible kindness that they were showing to her. They didn't want Naomi to suffer. They didn't want her to be on her own either. So they were praised for their kindness. Naomi and Ruth, they move back to Naomi's homeland, and there we see a whole nother set of circumstances laid out. Bottom line is Ruth meets an individual called Boaz. Boaz eventually marries Ruth because he is her redeemer or kinsman redeemer. We're not going to get into all of that this morning. But basically, back in that day and time, family members would marry if a brother or cousin or whoever passed away without children, another family member would marry and produce children for the family so the family could continue on. So there was a whole discussion about the kindness that Boaz was showing Ruth, the incredible blessing that he was to her, eventually marrying her. But even before that, all that he was doing and providing for her, he showed incredible kindness. That kindness led to their union, to their marriage. And if we don't know this, Ruth, the daughter-in-law of Naomi that just made her way back, that just met Boaz, that got married to Boaz, it was all about kindness. Ruth, this individual, is the great-grandmother of King David. And who came from King David's line? Jesus. There's a connection here all the way back. And again, it developed out of a time, out of a situation regarding such kindness and care and encouragement. You know, Ruth could have easily said to Naomi, "Yeah, I'm young, I'm going back home, you do what you got to do." And she could have gone back to her family and lived her own life. She didn't. She chose to stay with Naomi. When they got back to Naomi's homeland, Naomi gave her a bunch of instructions, and Ruth could have said, "Oh, come on, this is crazy." But she didn't. She listened. She was encouraged. She heard what Naomi had to say. She went out, and God gave her favor, and again, she found kindness in the field of Boaz. She found more kindness as Boaz stood his ground and said, "I'll take care of you. I'll take care of your family." Kindness was the beginning point in that whole relationship, which ultimately led to the birth of our Savior. Ultimately led to Jesus, the baby in that little manger. Again, this account is an account that you and I need to think about in our own personal lives. See, Boaz was a redeemer for Ruth and for Naomi, just as Jesus is our redeemer, our Savior. Boaz paid the price, so to speak, for someone else. He did it out of the kindness of his heart. Jesus paid the price for you and I. He did it out of kindness and gentleness and mercy for you and I. Jesus' salvation, the salvation he paid or gave for you and I, is rooted in that kindness. It's amazing how much a simple act of kindness affects our lives going forward. God uses that kindness in so many ways, including in a plan of salvation for the entire world. Move ahead to yet another element of kindness, this one in the New Testament. We're going to look at a scripture that we peeked at a little bit last week. Paul wrote to the Colossians and said to them in this section of scripture that we have titled Rules for Holy Living, he said this in Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Look at the wording of that with me for just a moment this morning. Look at the phrase that we read there. Clothe yourself. Clothe yourself. That phrase gives us the picture of being completely covered or completely surrounded. In what? In all of those elements. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Clothe yourself. May kindness envelop you, every bit of you. Why? Well, Paul mentioned it here. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. If you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are one of God's chosen people. You know, in the Old Testament, we use that phrase to refer to the Israelites, right? They were God's chosen people, the Israelites. Today, in New Testament age, God's chosen people are all of us that have put our faith in Christ. Jew and Gentile alike. We are God's chosen people. And because He has chosen us to be His servants, to be saved, to be an example of His mercy and His grace, we are to be clothed in all of these elements that Paul just spoke about here. Patience, kindness, compassion, humility. He chose you and I, and He now asks us to clothe ourselves in those things. Notice He doesn't force us to do it. He asks us to do it. We have a choice to make, just as I talked about earlier. We can decide to clothe ourselves in kindness, or we can decide to be the jerk, the arrogant one. It's up to us. If we choose to put on those clothes of kindness, so to speak, that's when others can see Christ in us. They can see there's something different about us. They can see there's a softer side, if you will, to us. They can see there's an element of change in our lives. They can recognize that kindness, and it might just be what they need to receive to change their lives. One more scripture to peek at today regarding kindness. This one's in Titus Chapter 3, starting right at verse 1. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and to show true humility towards all men. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing and rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that, having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Kindness is a major element in our walk with Christ. This is kind of a repetitive theme here, folks. All of these different things that we're reading about and seeing are not little insignificant things. They're all a major piece. They're all a major part. They're all incredibly important to our maturity and our walk as Christians. God was kind enough to send Jesus to earth so that man would have a way to be saved. Jesus did it all for us. He didn't have to, but out of His kindness, He willingly chose to. He laid down His life. He expressed the kindness that the Father had planned for you and I by giving of Himself. We are called to be clear reflections of Christ. That includes kindness. No matter how much of a jerk our neighbor is, no matter how difficult our co-workers are, no matter how many cars cut me off on the road, I am supposed to be a reflection of Christ and show His kindness all the time. Not just when it's convenient, not just when it seems right, not just when the circumstances are good, but all the time. Truth be told, we have absolutely no idea how our act of kindness may affect other people. Go back to that story I read at the beginning today. Imagine yourself as the biker on the Brooklyn Bridge in the middle of all that 60-mile-an-hour traffic. I can't remember the last time I rode a bike. Hopefully mine has training wheels on it. I also can't imagine riding a bike at 30 miles an hour. But imagine yourself being on that bridge. This individual said she felt like this one man's act of kindness saved her life. Think about that statement. That one man's act of kindness saved her life. Honestly, he simply did what was right. He pulled up to this situation. He really didn't criticize or condemn. Oh, sure, he yelled out the window for a brief moment, but quickly realized the mistake that she had made and wanted to help her past that mistake. He did what was right. He didn't worry about condemning her. He didn't judge her. He didn't rebuke her. He didn't even point out how she could have done things differently. He didn't even take the time to outline just how bad of a mistake she had made. He simply showed kindness. He pressed the brake pedal. He backed off, got behind her, flipped on his hazards, and put the rest of his agenda to the side so that he could help her get to safety. One man's act of kindness saved her life. That woman called this story a story of salvation for her. Now, she was very much talking about physical salvation, being spared from any kind of tragic accident on that day. But folks, God does that exact same thing for us. Through kindness, he spares us. Through kindness, he brings salvation to our lives. Our kindness, even when we don't feel like it, even when it's not the best day for us, our kindness could be the difference between life and death for somebody. Do you ever stop and think about that? I read earlier, like, random acts of kindness that we did. Somebody made baby blankets for an unwed mother. What if that blanket had never been made? What if that child that received that blanket never had a blanket? What if it was cold and that baby got sick and died? We have no concept of how our acts of kindness affect people around us. Whether they're fellow Christians or complete strangers, we have no idea how important kindness is in our lives. Once in a while, every now and then, God allows us to see the result of our kindness, and that is an incredible gift when we can see what the result of that kindness is. I believe God does that so that we keep on keeping on. He says, look at what this one little act did. Now go and do it more. But we get a glimpse of what God does through us, what God can bring about through one simple little act of kindness. For someone else today, tomorrow, they could be at the end of their rope, and our act of kindness might be the only hope that they see or have or know. Folks, do not ever underestimate the importance of kindness in our lives, both the kindness that we have been shown and the kindness we need to show others every day of our lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you again for your blessings. Thank you for the kindness you have showed each and every one of us. Thank you for taking us out of the muck and mire. Thank you for saving our souls. Thank you for showing us the path that we need to walk instead of the path that we were walking. God, thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you would help us become these incredible examples of you in the world. Lord, nine little pieces here in this scripture: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Nine little pieces of what we need to do day after day after day to show you to the rest of the world. God, help us. God, help us to put them in play every day of our lives. When circumstances and situations blow up and we want to get mad or frustrated or yell or whatever, God, help us to remember the kindness that saved us and the kindness we need to show to someone else. God, help us, no matter what the situation or circumstances of life are, that we need to be that reflection of kindness to the rest of the world, that they too might see hope in you. God, help us to be kind today and every day. In Jesus' name.
Lord, bless you. you, the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.